end, entertain a motion to approve our agenda.
So moved.
Okay, we have a motion by Ms. Grumman, or sorry, Ms. Olson, and a second by Mr. Endres. All in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, say no. Okay, the agenda is approved. And then you should be have a copy of the minutes attached. This time I had the whole shebang was printed up with all the attachments and all the full color glory. So I'd entertain a motion to approve the minutes.
So moved.
So motion by Ms. Olson. Do I hear a second to approve?
Second.
Okay, second by Mr. Wadsland. All in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say no. Okay, so the minutes are approved. That's from January 5th, by the way. And try to remember to get the signature page before I leave. So, and then it's the first in our charter. It's the first meeting of February. So in the charter for the Justice Advisory Committee, so it's been a year. So you guys are actually plunging into your third year on the committee. And so thank you for doing that. But so we're reappointed by the county commissioners to be on the committee. But now we're at the point where we need to reappoint a chairman and a vice chair and a secretary. So, Julie, if I could turn that over to you to do number three, to take nominations for the chair and the vice chair.
All right. Are there any nominations for chairperson?
I nominate you if you're willing.
I guess so.
Second. Nominations, please. Cast your name on this ballot.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye. Aye.
Okay, so.
Any nominations for vice chair?
I nominate Megan if she's willing to be the vice chair again.
If it's not another 3 years,
yes. Yeah, well, that's the idea is that it's not. It's only been 2 years. We're just going into the third year. Hopefully.
Well, that makes it
sound
better.
Second.
You don't technically you don't have to second nominations, but if there's. But a motion to cast a unanimous ballot, so it would be. So I'd
cast a unanimous ballot.
I'll second that.
Do you want to move on to secretary or something?
Yeah, I can do that one. But just take a vote take a
all
vote.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Congratulations, maybe.
Yeah, I think that's the right way to do that. So anyway, we know. So okay, and then we need to appoint a secretary, so I'd nominate Julie Raddick if you're still willing to do so.
Make a motion, cast a unanimous ballot.
Okay. Do I have a second to that motion?
Second that.
Okay. Okay, so we have a motion by Mr. Wilson, cast a unanimous ballot. All in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed, say no. Okay. So, congratulations, Julie. Your help is instrumental. This and it's I know it's a lot of work. She has to sit down after we do this and go through, you know, remember all the things we said and fall through a lot of detail. And I think we get a nice level of detail in our minutes that we can refer back to and make use of. And a lot of times for those who don't know, the minutes are often the best resource. If you want to know what the committee's been up to, the minutes are usually the best place to look. So anyway, don't forget about the pizza. Okay. So then the next part of our discussion, and I know Al wants to be a part of this discussion, so I think he's on his way. Oh, I can update you on a couple things, and then we can get into talking about some more about options, because I think we've been thinking a lot about that. Commissioner Hanton and I met with the mayor, and so the city's done with their appraisals. A couple things to note about that. They obtained two separate appraisals, one for the building, the auditorium building itself, and one for the parking area north of the auditorium itself. So that could add some flexibility to the options. And the next step in that is the city council is going to be discussing it at their working session. And I want to say it's 5:30 on Monday, this coming Monday. So I plan to be there to answer questions, and so we'll kind of see. We got a little bit of a sense from the mayor, but it'd probably be better to talk about it as you know, let the city council talk about it. But in general, the fact that they got an appraisal because of you know, our issue is, I think, it shows that their willingness to talk. So that's probably about all to say at the moment on that one. So any questions on that? Okay. And then I guess the bigger thing, we started hitting on this last time, and we started hitting on an idea of what would be a reasonable amount. And so one of the things with our process, and the architect advised us to start doing public presentations throughout the process. So, and that generated some feedback, I think. And also, thanks to the members of the community, they're willing to talk to us or talk to, I think especially of the non-county employee members of the committee, you get a good sense of what's going to pass. So we're, right now, I think what we have, because of the work we've done, we have the building blocks, the bits and pieces that we need to put together an option that might be a bit scaled down, or maybe more than a bit scaled down from the 30 million-ish option. So that's kind of what we, with that, we have a sense that maybe the bond amount ought to be less than what we've been talking about, at least the full enchilada. Okay, and we've talked about the phased options. We've talked about different ways to go into this. And I think we've kind of arrived at the idea that we need to pick something that we can get done that's just a single ballot measure. And my idea of a tiered ballot didn't meet with a lot of enthusiasm, I sensed, from the fellow committee members. So so we need to be talking about that. So my take, and these are just my notes, so we can make sure we're kind of on the same sheet, and if you disagree with something or you want to say something, please do. This is kind of a discussion part. What I'm seeing is we need to figure out, if we're talking about, say, I'll just put a number out there, somewhere a bond amount somewhere under, you know, the 20 million-ish, or maybe a little bit less than 20 million, okay, for a starting point about what we're talking about. So the issue is, what requirements do we need to focus on that we can meet between or among all the recommendations from both the court consultant, the jail consultants, and the architect? So what I generally see is that the jail is the big issue. And we probably could meet all of those floor space recommendations, but then some of the court recommendations might be hard to do all at once. So we have to come up with something that's workable out of the components of what we've learned, and we'll go through some of the slides in there as we talk about it. So we want to set a stage that maybe a decade or so, or decades from now, we're still able to flexibly meet the goals that we need, the things that we need to be able to do in the future for our justice facilities. So, and then there's also, we're feeling a pretty strong desire to use whatever facilities we already have. So we kind of knew that about the courthouse, but also we get a lot of questions on the jail and the sheriff's office, that building there too. And there's a desire to use that building if we can. So with that, what I have are three scaled down options. One is from the architect, and the two others are from committee members that have talked to me. And so we tried to put them on the slide so we can talk about it. And I think what the goal of this discussion in my mind, and you guys we can debate this, the goal of this discussion is to see what direction do we want to give to the architect to kind of refine that and then get down to an amount that we're going to talk about for a bond, okay, an option. And that doesn't mean it has to be, every detail has to be hard and fast, but we should be able to arrive at a bond amount. And there may be some debate about, which office goes in this particular space in some cases, but the big pieces are going to be, we should have a pretty good idea of that and be able to speak to that when the public asks. Okay. So the goal would be to give an idea of what we think the architect ought to do, and what research, how much we want him to dig, or what we want him to dig into to come up with some specific plans. So this plan in front of you, this, I'm calling it option 1C, because the one options were the auditorium, the auditorium block. And this is after I asked Bruce, I thought, well, if we can have a bond, say, I was thinking of a bond amount just under 20 million, so I thought about 18 million, so I said, well, if you can do something that would cost 23 million, subtract the 5 million, and you come up with 18 million. And he came back with this one, which is about 21 million, which would make a bond amount somewhere in the 16 million-ish area. I've talked to Bruce about this one, but I can explain it pretty quickly, I think. Some of the stuff
some of this whited out stuff is just some of the language there, like it had swapped with the city. Well, that's not a done deal yet on some of the but we do want to, this would require us to obtain the auditorium block. So jail is planned on the auditorium block, so but no sheriff's office, leave the auditorium alone. Okay, so that's an advantage of the fact that the city has two separate appraisals, so if we want to, we don't have to do both. Add a secure entry onto the courthouse, which that takes care of the handicapped access issues, so it makes the courthouse a longer-lasting thing. And then sheriff stays where he's at, but you get a little bit of, expand the space a little bit, and then one of the court offices, and I think he put down court services, so the probation guys, and then he thought of the county nurse for a county office, where number 5 is. So then the thought there was that he thought the county nurse would be a good one to put someplace else, because that would allow the state's attorney to expand. So if you wanted to. But it doesn't have to be, this is the kind of a detail we can talk about. So maybe the courts would rather that the clerk of courts be over there as opposed to the court services. So anyway, I might be able to answer some of the questions, but any thoughts on that?
Number 4 entry, would that be for the public to come in?
Or yeah, that'd be the public entry. So that would take care of, so it'd be an entry connected to all the stories of the courthouse. I think some of the details, the good thing about that one, it does open up the potential of using that large equalization office, I think. But that would be, that's kind of the thing that we don't have to necessarily decide now. But on the other hand, if we think that's something that we really want them to look at, you know, we can say so.
Is 1.8 a realistic number for a contingency?
It's based on a per
that number came from Bruce.
Yeah.
Seems high, but okay.
Well, he does aim a little high because he's planning for construction inflation and the unexpected. So, and the closer in you get to the project, the lower that number goes.
Okay.
So it is pretty high at this point. So maybe by the time, you know, we might learn some things that might allow us to lower that a little bit. The other thing I forgot to cover, I must have hid the slide, but there's a slide in your packet, I think. Yeah, it's just after these, but there is, we'll come to that, never mind. We'll come to it later. So, anyway, the one thing I think that's probably the most, a couple of notes here. One of the key savings points is that we're obviously not doing as much for the court. So one of the things I forgot to point out is we talked about having a small in-custody courtroom, and Judge, if you want to chime in, a small in-custody courtroom on the other options. I think it was the option where we didn't do the Justice Center thing. We just had the jail over here. And this option, he's talking about making this larger, like about a 1,500-square-foot courtroom that would be jury-capable.
So you'd be doing
you'd have
the additional court space in the jail, and also still renovation.
Yeah, so it does give the court some help, and then also allow some, say, court services or the clerk of courts to have a better space. So,
on this proposal, instead of a what we talked about before, a small
this would have that would be bigger.
We have a jury courtroom in the jail. Or connected to the jail.
Yeah, I think it'd be a second story on top of the admin booking area of the jail, not the housing area. So, anyway.
Judge, do you think that would be acceptable, or do you think that would buy?
It'd be acceptable to me.
The one thing I'd say is that
counties in bigger cities like Los Angeles and some of the major cities do that. It's called a public safety building.
Yeah.
Okay. And that's where the criminal court trials take place.
Yeah. Essentially, you're kind of adding a court annex on top of the jail, you know, and that's kind of, either way, it'd kind of be that way. This is just a bigger version by scaling down the other parts of the concept, he can make that one a little bigger. At least that's the idea. I suppose if, depending on how the money, you know, how the bidding and everything works out, you might make that bigger. I don't know. And he could probably do some things with the seating, because that 1,500, that's roughly the size of the big courtroom we have now. So your big pinch would be on jury calls. So that's, you know, that might be a piece of the
a piece of the puzzle we don't answer.
Well, in essence, we'd have a criminal courtroom in the new, adjacent to the new jail facility.
Yeah.
We'd have the civil courtroom and the
you can do it that way.
Yeah. Is that what we're talking about, or am I misunderstanding?
Yeah, I think it could work that way. I mean, that's kind of how UJS wants to use the, you know, the spaces, but yeah.
And for security, how does that work as far as getting the public into a secure facility?
They have to plan out a passage to do that. I mean, you have to do that, obviously.
How does the sheriff feel about that?
Operationally, it's going to, you know, cost money with staffing
exactly
and, you know, to have people man there all the time.
Right.
So.
Because when we originally had talked about a small conference room where we could do video arraignment, now this has gotten much bigger again and has added to the cost.
I think you'd probably still do, yeah. So the question would be operational.
I mean, I'll just cut to the chase. After some conversations I've had with folks, I think a number, after we take those reserve dollars out, around $11 million is probably a little bit more realistic to get past over $15 million. I think we're still adding too many add-ons and still trying to go too elaborate. I think if we could get the project cost around $16 million, take $5 million out of it, and go with maybe around $11 million, I think that's going to be a lot more palatable to the public.
Well, maybe let's hold that thought. And then I think there's two other options we can just at least look at, and then we'll get an idea. Yeah. And then we can maybe talk about, prioritizing the pieces of the plan. So, like, I'm guessing something like the secure entry on the west would be one of the things that, in your mind, would fall off on that one. So,
tell people to eat pizza.
Oh, eat pizza. Yeah, I'll eat a piece in demonstration.
Everyone, tell yourself. When they figured these out, did he do it so that for future use you could always go up? Do you know if that was
the way that would be a decision along the detail. That would be in the hundreds of thousands of dollars. You'd want to do that. Just get the right kind of roof joist.
Sure,
yeah.
So that we don't run into the same situation we're in right now that you can't go up.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. That, and that's a decision that.
I'm gold or something.
But that's something that I need. I probably need to confirm last.
We don't need to create one at a screen, guys. Bring it public. 100 people from Germany.
Okay. So let's look at the other two options real quick, and then we'll. I guess Al's gonna make it in, but. Okay. This is one that. Somebody who thinks along the same lines of as far as price goes, talk to me about. And so at Al Koyson, had this idea, and this kind of goes back to fitting it all in the courthouse block. So I hope Al gets here soon, because I want to make sure I reflected his thoughts correctly. There's not a giant sticky note. Don't worry, you know, there's not a giant sticky note in the back parking lot right now. So that's not an actual, that part of it's not the satellite image. So. But anyway, so the basic idea, and I think Al has this in his mind kind of flexibly, is that the six, you notice where so you got the courthouse, just point to everything here.
Courthouse, jail. So remember, Bill Garneau said 62 beds when he applied the ACA standards to the floor space. So that's where Al got that number. We talked about, I thought maybe less, but maybe less if you're going to have this option, and then make that add-on bigger, because that still means 24 beds in the basement, right? That number. So Bill just looked at floor space. He didn't look at natural light and all those other parameters, you know, where you actually put the walls. The sheriff had stayed in the same spot. Basically, no real growth in that building. If I understand, and I think I understood Al correctly, the Sallyport was a question that he thought maybe that could maybe go in on the sticky note. But anyway, that's, we might want to come back to that one. But and also the other key part here is using the Midland building. So anyway, there you go. It might be.
I'll just say, just from, you know, we talk a lot about historical preservation of it. We moved the county offices out of there into an old building. That's most of our only contact is coming in to the offices.
Mm-hmm.
Who's going to go in every appreciate the architecture inside that building.
Yeah. I think people like using the courthouse. And that's something to keep in mind with that west entry. I mean, that would...
That kind of follows it up, too. Yeah. Off the other doors.
Well, the west... Let me just come back to
because
that.
Because people just aren't going to go through security to come in.
Well, you don't have to turn on the security all the time.
Yeah.
So to get to say the county offices, you maybe just have a nice handicap, accessible entry and just go right into that.
But doesn't
that
floor. Defeat the point of security then? Because if somebody's coming in to make
well,
issue,
I think
whether they're coming in,
read about it. Yeah, okay.
Fair point, or it isn't.
But I think most people don't. I'm not giving anybody ideas, but most people don't say, I got to get my license plates. I think it'll go up and wreak some havoc on the second floor.
Most people don't.
But if you're going to be a havoc wreaker, you're going to go right to the second floor.
Then you'd
have security on the second. You can secure the second floor and not the first floor.
The director of equalization has had issues in the past, so
yeah.
Yeah. So maybe you do want to secure. So I guess what are you saying? So. The only thing I was going to point out here is the number four on this diagram. So adding an entry that could make the other floors accessible and provide handicapped restrooms to all parts of the courthouse might be something that helps us in the future. It goes a little bit beyond just justice needs, but county needs as well, and makes that courthouse more usable. Into the future. So that's something to think about.
Okay, and the other side of it is, I'm really afraid of an old building that we're just going to end up.
Oh, you mean the Midland?
You're referring to the Midland building?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
The Midland building.
Yeah.
It's like an old house, you start tearing into it, and all of a sudden you're paying more for it than just building it.
Yeah. And that's also why contingencies go up when you. You just don't know. It might work out better. It might not. So.
Well, and I think what do we gain? Let's talk for a minute about these 62 beds.
Mm-hmm.
What do we gain over there? That's still the linear design. It's not doing anything for our staff. It's not doing anything, for...
Still have the same sight lines.
It's same sight lines, issues that we're trying to get away with, so we're only kind of halving the project. I don't think it's a viable option.
I think we're... Well, this is my personal opinion, not as chairman, but just I agree. I think it's going to make it so we have to go through this process and start another committee again in 10 years.
Yeah, so it's a Band-Aid. It's not fixed.
And like say,
I kind of agree with that. You're not really halving it. You're creating two jails.
Yeah. No,
we pinch. That's what operationally we're going to have to double.
Beds, yeah. Now you got another jail with 60 beds. Okay. Staffing and your operation costs can go up
skyrocket. Mm-hmm. And then with the 62 beds, you're not fixing the problem.
Yeah, you still have the basement beds, but I mean, I think Al would be. I mean, he's just putting this out here as kind of an idea.
Yeah.
But so okay, and I think he's.
Honestly, it's not that it's a bad idea, but I think you in that option you'd want to address. Remodeling your current jail to get rid of that linear design to alleviate some of your staffing numbers so that you can have that other 60 beds.
You
opened it up and created the whole
we don't have a
system.
Yeah. Well, looking at the
your staff in half and now you can put half over there
in half day. What Bruce came up with for a floor space, just whatever kind of remodeling of that building would be about 1.4 because that's high end kind of possibility. Hopefully it'd be a little lower than that. But you're also talking about some pretty heavy duty remodeling, even if you were to use that as a jail.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you want to make, because it'd be the low security part of the jail, it'd be the work release and that kind of part of the jail. You'd have to cut out the bars that are there. So anyway, can I move on? So what we want to get to is what we want to ask Bruce to look at, I think, is kind of what that's kind of the goal of our discussion right now. Okay, then this is one. Do you want me to explain this one, Brad?
So yeah, if you want to start.
Okay, so I think I understand. Brad and I talked about this, so this was Brad's idea. So this is kind of similar to Bruce's idea, so I'm calling it a 1D. So Bruce's was 1C. This is 1D. So basically the jail the same as what Bruce had, but this time try to get the sheriff's ops over there as well, so you get the proximity to both. And we've had those components. He's looked at all those different floor spaces, so kind of we're kind of in a plug and play stage.
But the thing, the key thing to note here is that you're still looking at not meeting the program recommendations in any of these options for the sheriff's office. So that's kind of that's where the cost savings, a lot of the cost savings is on these. So, but we, you know, the focus of our project is jail and court. So, let's see what else. And then this frees up some either county or so you could have like equalization or maybe the clerk of courts in this area where the sheriff's office is now. And then this I thought was an interesting idea was the having just that's a lot of floor space there. It would take some remodeling, but there's a lot of floor space there to do like a large courtroom suite.
Or even two large courtrooms, depending on how it's laid out.
Yeah. What we don't know is what are the supporting columns and where the load bearing walls are. We don't quite know that. So if whether or not that would work. Parts of it sure seem like it, because there are some just plain old drywall partitions here and there. You also have, you'd at least be able to save a few cells for as holding cells for inmate witnesses. There's plenty of plumbing in there for jury suites. So, but whether or not that's configurable is kind of the question. So that's
Brad. In this one, though, you're still having to move inmates, or are you still talking about having like a
if we have a small in custody? Yeah,
okay. Yeah, this would probably still. Yeah. You wouldn't want to build a whole big courtroom in the jail.
Right. If just you did a small conference. Just a, yeah. About small
yeah,
conference
just a hearing room
situation.
Yeah, so that would still both of the 1C and the 1D would answer most of the inmate movement.
And then if we do have some inmate movement for any jury trials or any the large court things, we could be able to save two cell banks in there. And when we do transfer inmates over, we can house them in there until court. You know, we call them up, we got a secure area. We're still separating the inmates from the general public during court proceedings for safety.
Does the HP and emergency management move over into sheriff's office?
No, they stay in the basement.
That's another advantage of that.
They do. Okay.
Yep. No, actually, all three would stay for all three of these options. One thing on Al's option, I should, in fairness to this option, because you're right behind the old courthouse, and now that in theory, you have everybody, all the county offices would be in the Midland building, so you have all the space in the courthouse for court facilities. We're not answering all the circulation issues, obviously, but the raw floor space is there. So the proximity of a jail in that configuration to the courthouse would at least shorten the distance. I'm sure that with all the ups and downs of the courthouse,
we could use the existing sally port for running inmates in.
No, hold on. Let's go back to your option.
Okay.
I'm just making sure I cover what I think Al would want me to say on that one. So you're talking about. You're talking about the sally port here?
Yep.
So
I say we could
go right in there.
Use the current sally port for running inmates back and forth. We could park in the garage. Run inmates into their cells. Like I say, another nice thing is we've got that secure tunnel going from the courthouse to the jail right now. That's something that judges, employees of the county can, we can limit that to only they can use that. So another nice thing.
Have the old clerk, of course, you could move the nurse up there, and then
you
would have room for the expansion of the state's attorney.
Yeah, that's an option too.
So it'd be a little unhandier for people.
No, that's we're not architects, and we don't play them on TV.
Yeah.
So we're doing is saying things that we need the architect to look at. I mean, you can kind of roughly guess. I'd say pretty roughly guess on this. So
Sheriff, do you have strong feelings one way or the other about having your ops in the jail? I mean, we talked at one point that there's a possibility of remodeling your current office space, giving you some more room. I mean, do you have strong feelings? You feel like that's from an efficiency standpoint, is that the way that you think?
Efficiency and it's operational. There's a lot of times that deputies and I are back and forth in the jail dealing with inmates assisting. Our chief jailer here, he's back and forth. We use the same records, gals. It'd be a lot more efficient if we were together.
Okay.
One way or the other, the jail is a big liability to the county right now, so that's the biggest issue.
What about, we can ask Bruce to think about maybe, what I would suggest
We can do this by consent if, unless people want to have a formal motion. But I can ask Bruce to look at the possibilities of the that, you know, doing that, doing something major like that to the jail and what it would cost. Would it be still within that $1.4 million-ish price tag, or would it be something more?
I would say go with that, but maybe on the flip side of it, too, have them look at moving offices into that instead of going to secure courtrooms if just offices has any bearance on price.
Okay. Okay.
Because then you could use the rest of the upstairs if you move that court services, that moving upstairs into there. And you could
There's a lot of options there. So.
Moving around. I don't know if it costs more to build a courtroom than it does office space, or I guess I don't know whether...
It may just not work as a courtroom because of the various walls in there, the ceiling height is going to be lower than what we're used to in a courtroom. I mean, we'd definitely be giving that up.
I think there's something about the prestige of having court in the courthouse, too, where it's like court in a remodeled building seems a little bit like, yeah. I don't know.
But you would have, there might be some other cost savings realized by being able to achieve a whole suite of all the rooms, the attorney-client, the...
Right.
Witness separations, all those things.
I'd have them do both. I'd have them flip and see what it would cost just to do that into offices, too.
Okay. We'd already covered your option, Al. Do you want to... I think we covered it. Let me just show you what I put, make sure I did it accurately. Right now, though, on the list of things to do. And the other thing I would suggest is maybe we think about asking Bruce to just see maybe on his other option, the 1C, what would be involved in just putting the sheriff's operations over. How much more would that be to put that with the jail in this option or that one? So, I mean, in essence, you're kind of... That almost makes these two options, the 1C and the 1D, the same in a way. So, but I think it can articulate that to him. So, this is the way I presented the one we talked about, Al. So I did caution him there's not a giant sticky note in the back. And I know it's so... And I put rough non-architectural approximation on this one and the next one because... We don't want it to have it.
And did you mention that? Where that sticky note is, that could be...
Yeah, it's very rough. I didn't talk about that specifically, but it's...
90 degrees, and then you could have actually 120 beds if you wanted to go that way.
So what are you talking about? You don't know the exact proportion or shape, the aspect ratio of that. So it could be the other way, and then you're saying that there would be space for expansion over here. So.
Right.
So I think now that's our take as not architects. So, okay. All right. So anybody, did people weren't as interested as you were, I think, in proceeding forward with it. So to ask Bruce about it. But so the list of questions I have, is basically... And also I'm hearing that we're not super excited about that adding west entry to the courthouse. Is anybody particularly... I think that'd be nice to do because it would make the courthouse usable into, more usable for decades ahead, but I realize it's not the number one priority. So, it's probably going to add... He estimates 2.8.
Yes.
Yeah, is that what that says, 2.8?
Yes.
Okay.
$3 million off right there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's something that's, but it also probably means, and I know there's different views on this, but it would probably also mean that you use that equalization space in a particular way, and it's probably not going to be a possibility for a court space, if that's something that's in anybody's mind.
So. There's a director of equalization office?
Yeah.
In the courthouse?
Right. Well, I know your view is that we don't need to increase the number of entrances, but that's not that. But the recommendation of into a particular courtroom, but the recommendation of the National Center for State Courts was that you do need multiple points of access, multiple entry points into a courtroom in order to separate the different parties. So.
Actually, if I could, if I remember right from that study, if you were to do an addition of a new entrance,
mm-hmm.
like you're talking with the
yeah.
handicapped accessible,
yeah.
all your other entrances would be closed down to only emergency exits.
Probably so, yeah.
They wouldn't yeah. be entrances.
Yeah.
Nobody could enter in the
front. So you're talking about the current front and back door.
They're only egressing emergency egress exits.
Mm-hmm.
So then you could then for, with that entrance, that's the main entrance, that's the point where everybody comes in, then you could start separating your public side to your secured side mm-hmm. with that.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And the other thing with this one, I mean, you touched on it with 7, 5, and 6 going into the old jail facility, but that's, I guess, I didn't remember you saying it. That's freeing up space in the courthouse
Some.
For the court spaces.
It would free up, let's see, yeah. So this
when
one,
when you first
yeah.
talked about this, it really didn't say anything about adding on to courtrooms.
Yeah.
Space.
Yeah, number 6 would free up, you know, better, you'd allow you to remodel, say, a chamber or maybe attorney client
sure
area.
There's a hidden fee somewhere in there
yeah.
to do that. But.
Yeah. Mr. Mack, did you get
it? Maybe the sheriff could address it. I'm understanding with what Tyler's saying there and everything, but one of my concerns has always been when you've got those other exits that are just emergency exits, that if you do have somebody who's attempting some kind of nefarious act, they send a couple of people through security, unsecured, and they head right for those emergency exits,
oh.
open it, and there's no security there to allow somebody to breach the facility unopposed. And I don't know how in other facilities they handle that, because I know they've got to have a certain amount of emergency exits.
Alarm goes off.
Yeah. Well, alarm goes off, but by then they're in the facility. You no longer have...
Yeah, I think those are all. I mean, those are good points. I think we'd need to. Those are kind of getting a little bit into the details of.
Well,
I think
it
the isn't.
It isn't. I mean, to Bob's point, we talked about okay, we're just going to have security. Sometimes we're not. I mean, we have operational costs with staffing and security. Who's going to
mm-hmm.
do that? What budget that is that coming out of? And I think you're either as a community or a mandate comes down from the court that you're going to have a secure facility or you're not. I don't think
mm-hmm.
it's an optional. Tuesdays we have secure days because we have court. Thursdays I don't think it's a pick and choose thing. I think it's
okay.
one way or the other, and I think there's a lot of costs associated with that.
Okay.
That we're not maybe looking
well,
into.
And there are some less expensive ways we talked about of at least on court days securing that second floor too. I mean, but as far as yep.
I just might make a comment, something that went through my mind. I've always thought that if they kept the courts in the places that need the most security
mm-hmm.
on that second floor, you could actually set up right there at the top of the steps. You only got one set of steps going up. You got enough exits out of the building. A secure site there could go and take care
yeah.
of
that's
kind of
what. Yeah, that's what. That was basically, that was kind of the architect's answer. When I'm the one who suggested that side entry. And so, just to look at that. And
also, you got the elevator.
Yeah, so you could,
a couple
so,
other, you know,
so,
two different areas that you're going to have to be.
So you secure the stairway,
so.
The stairway from the first to the second floor, and that elevator when the people come off. So, and that's what that would be.
And
a,
then Bruce's
an
option, this one, too, puts that large jury courtroom over in.
It'd be a medium-sized jury courtroom in the jail.
I just don't think that makes sense to be bringing civilians into a secure facility. I just don't. I mean, we're adding more costs now on top of it.
I think the question I think is going to be, is it? You know, it's not going to be that often that you have a jury trial. But so, would it be better just to stick with the current jury courtroom
mm-hmm.
and move
How many
inmates
jury
over
trials
there?
Did we have in?
Over the years, it's only.
It's
in the single
it's
digits over the years. So, it's in the single digits. So
yeah, it's
yeah. Okay. Now, maybe one year you might
that one
year.
Presided over 6
yeah.
in the last year
yeah.
in this county, outside of counties, and I'm one judge. I know that
yeah.
Judge Elsher had 2 or 3, and
this is a high.
Had at least 3 or
yeah.
4 in the last year.
That's a high number for a year. Yeah,
mm-hmm. And so they're increasing. I know when I first came on this committee as a non-voting member, and I listened to the experts, they were saying it was rare. Maybe once or twice a year. It hasn't been that way in the last 2 years.
Historically, it's gone down. But, yeah, maybe we're seeing something, changing.
I think it's more of what you want to call it or label it, because, honestly, your jury or your jury-capable courtroom with the jail could simply be labeled as a criminal jury courtroom only. You're only dealing with the criminals over there. So,
well, we could, you know, you could.
It's, whether it's a full jury trial or if it's just a big
yeah.
criminal case.
Right.
But to Megan's point, you're not having civil cases over there either. It's just a criminal courtroom.
That's what it would be.
From an operational standpoint, it just presents a lot of challenges.
Well, let me suggest this. I'll suggest that he give us look at the price. Would it be any different? It might not be that much different. I mean, if he prices down, say the new jail figure, it's probably nothing you can really. It's probably within an estimate factor. Say a small in custody hearing type courtroom versus a jury capable courtroom. So, I think
you'd have more security considerations, though.
All right. Yeah. I get you. Okay. So the questions. Make sure I got this right here. So the security concerns. What would the operational impact be for the various security concerns of number one, having if you had a jury capable courtroom on the jail, and then also. Would it be this? Yeah. Well, that's the main security question, security operation
question.
It would
seem like question. It make more sense then, instead of using that space for that, swap out the sheriff's operations if that's more important than having a jury capable courtroom over there. If you're talking space for space, it seems like that'd be a better workability.
So basically security operational costs versus proximity of the sheriff's office.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. And then... Okay, and then looking at the old jail for possibility of another courtroom, or just I think he's already based on this option, office space is definitely a possibility. So
that makes sense.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So any other things I need to carry forth since and by the way, if any committee members want to contact Bruce, you're free to do that. If you have specific questions, if you have trouble, if you need his phone numbers and stuff, if you don't happen to have that, I can get that to you. And as the same goes for, I think, all the members of his team. So, and that might, you know, if you have a particular question and that you would just like to talk to him, I think that's totally appropriate. And so just, you should feel free to do that. Anything else on things to carry forth? So I got the questions, security operations, cost of bringing more people, including members of the public, into that a jail-located courtroom versus co-locating the sheriff's office with the jail, and then the construction costs there, and then what. Just understanding all the options with the old jail building, right? Okay. So if you're okay with that, I'm going to carry that forth to Bruce that's what we're looking at. So we're just that. So that means that for the time being, we're still focusing on the auditorium block and that parking lot. So the significant thing here is that we're not looking at using the auditorium building right now. Okay. And by the way, we do. There are some things. And again, to repeat, we have to talk with this, continue our discussion with the city on possibly getting that property, and then exactly where that property line is, making sure between the plat line is between the auditorium building and the. I don't think it's significant, but we'll have to confirm that since we have two separate appraisals. Just for everybody, this is a minor update. This is the next item on the agenda on using funds reserved. I think we're okay. Never mind.
Which plan are you?
So we're kind of looking. We're kind of tossed up between one. Let me go back here. That one.
Okay.
And
now this is what
that's what Bruce sent. Yeah,
yep,
that's the 16. Right now, that's about a $16 million-ish
with the 5 million applied, right. So 21, and
now
then
does that take care of all the problems now?
No, so no, it takes care of all the jail problems.
So we would have to come back later for more courtroom and stuff like this.
That's a question. I mean, that's a question. So,
well,
what do you guys think?
In other words, it doesn't solve our court spaces.
It solves some of them. It makes progress on the issue.
Okay,
so,
okay.
So here's
so the public. They would know that eventually down the road we might have to come back with.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it could. Yeah, it could. It could be. It could be. But yeah. I would hope that we could save. I mean, I would hope that we could really do this without a bond issue if we can manage to save that money. But that's another. That's a separate question. So we're saying how many of those needs can we meet? What is the most critical? So if we have to, this is how we frame the problem.
The most critical. But
yeah.
I just don't want to have a bond issue that goes out and people think that's
no. I hear you.
Covers everything.
Yeah.
How about option 1D, the other option?
The other option. I was answering Al's question. So that's the other option.
Would that fix 1D. The court needs?
That would make more. I think it would make even more progress, assuming that. You know, assuming that works.
Yep.
You know.
Well, what was 1D? Was this what
that's Brad. So,
okay.
Yeah. So that's, you can see that if you look at the screen now, basically the space that is the old, that is currently the jail, would become some kind of a court facility. So then, but we don't know, we're not architects, so we don't really know, you know,
right.
If that's going to work. We know it would work, at least, we're pretty sure it would work for office space. But whether or not it would work to fit a courtroom in there and how big it would be, that's another question. But there's a fair amount of floor space in that room, and there's a lot of you know, plumbing and other
ceiling height
wouldn't be it would not be the typical courtroom height. No, it'd be higher than a normal. It'd be probably higher than this room, but
about 11 feet, I suppose.
Yeah, it wouldn't be like the 20, the 16, 20 feet or whatever a courtroom is typically. So that would be something. You know, that would be a. That'd be something. That'd be a compromise. And then
you don't have an estimate on the cost for this.
No, that's. I think we should ask Bruce to do that. Same and the same thing with yours. I thought about that, but I don't think we should.
That's
wrong. But
just an idea.
Yeah. No, and it's you know, it's due diligence. I think talking about everything. So.
If I may ask a question. If you go back to the first one, 1C,
yeah,
that was kind of my point. If you're looking at 5, 7, and 6,
mm-hmm.
in his proposal of moving certain offices into there, I think to Al's point, it's not coming back to the voters sometime later to add on to the courts. I think this bid ought to be tweaked a little bit to say if you move those three offices out of there, now you have floor space to add to courtrooms. How much is that going to cost to put it into this?
Yeah. I'm not sure. It depends on how much floor space you gain. It's like you're saying if you move court services out of there, and
yes.
then and say maybe a judge's chamber to another place.
He's saying 5 is relocating county nurse.
Yeah.
6 is relocating court services, and 7 is expanding the existing sheriff. So you're moving 2 offices out of the courtroom,
right?
Which is going to free up space. So
right.
What is it going to cost to add, you know, remodel that into courtrooms to alleviate the court issues? And say it's
that is
1 million
right
so
now.
Six, seven.
That's built into this. It's built into that number.
But
that
at the same
change.
Time, you're not coming back 5 years later going, we need another $5-10 million.
No, we're saying. We're dealing with as much of the court need as we can with what we think is workable.
1D, if the jail would fit for court space,
mm-hmm.
You say essentially Judge
Spears. That would answer a lot of it.
Yeah. Judge Spears' chambers and his courtroom right now could be expanded into court services. That would fill that need.
But as far as the look and feel of what a courtroom typically is, that's the...
No, that'd be, yeah.
Yeah, that's the issue. Yep. Yeah. Okay, well, so I think I know the questions again. So to recap, what I'm going to ask Bruce to look further into, or BKV to look further into, is what the possibilities are with that secure court annex, and what the cost impact, both in terms of project cost and operational cost,
probably savings for moving the sheriff's office over, and then the question about security for public access if we did have a larger courtroom in the jail, right? Right? Okay, and then we're kind of, I'm hearing that we're kind of leaning away from the extra, the western entrance on there. So, and then maybe some detail, a bit more detail, a bit more estimation on whatever courthouse space is freed up, what the remodeling costs would be, and what you could do with that. Right? Does that sound right? Okay, I didn't hear any negative sounds. Okay. Okay, but to answer the question is, if you look at all the, and I sat down and looked at all the programmed floor spaces as we talked, as I looked at these three options to prepare for tonight, looked at all the program spaces for the jail, the courts, and those were all that's all stuff that we've done, gone over, is what's called the space program. So how much square footage goes in each space? So I want to, this is kind of answering Al's question, and so these the one options 1C and 1D, they answer all the jail needs that were put forth. And they answer some of the court needs, but not a huge part of them. And as far as the sheriff's office program, that doesn't really change things too much. It a little bit of expansion, but not much. And then 4E, this option skimps on the jail, but it gives a little bit more to the courts than the other two. So that's just that. So in terms of answering the specific program, so okay. If you think of another question, please ask. Okay, so this is just an update. This is agenda item 6. Not really any action to take right now because we don't have a final figure and we don't have a financial advisor on board. But we're estimating that we'd use $5 million of our special building projects surplus fund, which is surplus is just the accounting term that they use with the state for county budgets. And so right now that sits at 5.7 million and some change, just for everyone's information. That was something that we finalized, I think, the county, it was either the last county commission meeting, I believe, it was once we had good clear numbers of what was some.
How fast does that grow?
Doesn't grow at all in our, okay. we can't turn around and invest it. So
if we're looking at future expansion and using
you'd have
adding to it down the road.
Yeah, if you wanna if you want to target growing, you'd have to levy. This is based upon year to year cost savings. So after 2016 the county was able to add to this. Yep. But after 2015 it was not. So it just kind of depends on the expenditures.
You answer that right there. Well, from January 14 to January 7, 3 years, it grew 1.4.
It took about 10 years to get to that point.
Yeah. So
but you're
looking at the possibility of a $500,000 a year if it's a good year.
Right.
Yeah.
It takes 3 years. So.
But you could, I mean, if you wanted to, you can... And there are rules in law that allow counties to levy for that. But this is not a specific levy. So this is just what we've been able to save some years.
No other projects or groups are looking at this?
No, this one is for this. Yeah. Now there is, well, I don't need to get into the details, but there are other surplus funds in there, but that's just, for you right now, it's for your information. Okay, financial advisor. Any other questions on number 6? Okay, number 7 on the agenda is financial advisor. We had some space between meetings, I motioned that when, as a county commissioner, that we issue an RFP, so we did, for a financial advisor. So kind of the things that Doherty did last time, this time we sent out an RFP for that. Today was the due date. I was thinking maybe if I got the proposals in early, we might be able to talk about it. But as it is, I got one yesterday and two today. So we got three proposals in. And I think maybe the best way, rather than trying to go through those things tonight, would be to get together again. And we could do it as a small subcommittee, just a few people that are willing to read three proposals evaluate them, and these are the criteria that were in the RFP. So I don't think it should be anything shocking. It's we did this before with the architect. This is not quite as complicated, so just four criteria this time. And I think maybe the thing to talk about tonight would be if those weights look reasonable to you, and then if people want to volunteer, I think at least three people should probably look at this. Then we can, if you're comfortable with that, we can just go in the next couple of weeks. We can just go right to the county commissioners and make a recommendation. These guys, they all just at first glance, all three proposals look pretty good, actually. So one is from, in case you're wondering, one is from Doherty, one is from a company called Northland Securities, and one is from a company called Taylor's. And the last two are out of Minnesota. Actually, Doherty is headquartered in Minnesota as well. So it's, how do those weights look to everybody? So cost is, again, the lower one. We're talking, just to give you an idea, what I've seen at the in the proposals, probably anywhere from 30 to 50,000-ish, I would think, in there for would be the fee that a financial advisor would get, and that's based upon the size of the bond. So it depends on a number of factors. But the other thing is there's understanding our unique requirements, similar to what we were worried about with the architect, understanding our situation and the issues we're likely to have as we go through this process. So, okay. Would anybody like to help me look at those proposals? Would anybody maybe not like to do it that much, but would be willing to look at those? Oh, come on, guys. I mean, do I have to go? It's not that hard to do. So, if you're comfortable with it, then you know we can just look at them. I can sit down with the auditor and go through them and make a recommendation myself to as a county commissioner. If you guys are comfortable with that, we'll just go with that. I do have copies here. If you want to take a look, maybe after the meeting, that might be the easiest way to do it. But it's nothing. Does everybody understand what this guy's going to do? It's going to help us work out getting a good rate on a bond, planning, and that's assuming the thing passes, but also talking about all the other things that we need to make sure that the voters understand about what the tax impact would be specifically. So,
excuse me, yeah. Do you have to have somebody from the committee or?
There's no rule.
The
county has the authority to hire. It's not something that, there's no legal requirement to even do an RFP, but I thought.
Right. Wanting somebody to help you, it doesn't have to be a member from our
committee. No, it can be somebody else. Yeah, it can be as long as I'm just asking if you guys if you're comfortable with it. So, okay. Well, then what I will do is I think I will get with I'll see if perhaps the auditor or somebody like that would be willing to take a look at them, and then I'll go through them and make a recommendation. I may call somebody. So, it's nothing too difficult to do. Just it'll probably take about an hour of your time.
I volunteer, next week is a little crazy for me, so.
Oh, okay.
You want to get it done, I'm assuming.
Good to get done. This one would be a good one to get done. In fact, that was probably a little bit of my oversight and not issuing the RFP a little sooner. But, by law, we don't have to compete this type of service, but. It's you learn a lot when you do it, and your head's more in the game as you go through it as a client, I guess. So, a bit of due diligence. Okay, and I may come and ask you guys some questions if you guys are okay with that, and just say, what do you think of this versus that? Okay. And then in your next thing, so no other questions on the financial advisor. You guys are comfortable with that. Then we can move on. Pizza's really good, by the way. So, let's see. Number eight is public awareness stuff. So this says there's a flyer sample that in your handout there. It's got the column. Where did it go? Yeah. I think it's in there. Did you find it?
The last two.
There it is. Okay, this one here. This is one that BKV came up with. I didn't pass out this. I have some extra copies of.
Okay.
So there's a just an idea of the of a public awareness idea. So take a look at that one.
The one thing I noticed out here.
It looks like an architect put it together.
Suddenly heard you.
Yeah.
You know, they're talking about the 35 million was too much. Well, but then they come back and put 33 million. And
well,
now we're listening to the people that even 33 was too much.
Here's what. Yeah, this was in the project cost. Since we didn't have the numbers finalized, Bruce plugged in the numbers from his option 1C with the 21 and 16. So I took those out because we don't have that finalized. But that's what he had in there.
Well, what I mean is a lot of people out there.
Ah, okay, just
not happy with the $33 million performance.
No.
So we're listening again. That's what I'm saying is they should make that aware that hey, we are listening to the people. So we've dropped the $33 million project.
So from 35 to 33 to more.
Yeah.
Huh? Well, just think of that idea. I mean, it could get a little complicated. My problem in trying to do this stuff is I get really complicated. That's my challenge. So this is more.
I would say you can drop it off and forget about the 2014 bond and just say our original plan for 33 million. We're listening to the people. The border said it's too much. So lower price or, you know, more cost effective.
I personally like going back to 2014 because that's where it really did start. I mean, it's part of a, it's like a lot of bond issues, you know, be the schools and whatever. There's kind of a conversation that takes place like, how about this? Voters say, And so it's kind of, you know, it's a back and forth, but sometimes it's kind of complicated with
I can appreciate what they're trying to do here. From my past experience, it looks like an architectural firm put this together. It's way too cumbersome. It's way too complicated. And until we have a finite what we're going to try to present, I think we can message it a lot better.
Okay.
I think let's just put it on the shelf until we're ready to do something with it because I feel like it's just too
you guys
much.
Okay with that? I mean, I think I kind of... But this was helpful for me just to look at it because it was so different than what I was thinking. But okay.
Yeah,
we can't really conclude.
We're premature.
Okay. But this is for you to think of. I mean, this is stuff to think about. This is meant to be food for thought.
Yeah.
So, and just in case you're wondering what the blanks were, it was over on the left. It was based on Bruce's numbers on that option 1C with 21 million, subtract the 5, and then go down to a bond of 16. So, and then the last parts of public awareness were this is Toby Morris, who's one of the people who proposed on the answer the RFP. He sent me his spreadsheet, and so. That he was using to come up with those previous tax impact analyses that he had before. So this is on two sides. One is the 33.5 million with the 5 million subtracted. That's what this one is up here. So this is a summary of the same thing as that. Okay. This is a slide I used when I spoke to Rotary last week. But just to give an idea of. Tax impact. So, this is more food for thought right now. But how should we present it? This one goes. The key things about the key difference here is that we take out the 5 million to give people a better idea of what the bond is going to be really like. And now, whether this has a version of the 33 million or the 23 million, the other side.
Let's put this away until we get something more finite. I think we're fanning a flame by even presenting that at this point.
Okay.
I think it just needs to be put to bed for a while, and I think I really do. I think you're stirring too much up until we know what the plan is.
Okay. I guess maybe the question would be then, what about, just think about differentiating between egg and non-egg, and differentiating, and then looking, these are by, and also the townships and by acre, but No, I hear what you're saying.
There's a pretty big difference between, you know, 30 yeah. million,
large.
18, yeah. and then the 11. We're talking, you know,
no.
there's...
No, I know, yeah. I know. I get you. This is not a public presentation,
right.
so... But I have to talk about these things with somebody, and you guys are my...
You go to.
You're one tired about
yeah.
it.
Yeah. yeah.
It's interesting to me.
Yeah. Well, as an egg guy, you know, and one of the things I think it's interesting to point out that, you know, the way taxable value is computed is a bit different. So I think the question for now is just, do we want to, as we think about how we present that as it comes time to do so. And then I thought what's kind of interesting too is on this is the lower cost one, so I know we're all over the map and stuff, but the highest cost per acre and for the highest priced acre in the county, and this one's $1.25. The other one is still less than $2. So, you know. Anyway, I think we're rapidly approaching a lot of pizza to eat. Any other things on public awareness, other than Megan says we shouldn't talk about it?
Stop being aware.
Yeah, okay. All right. Okay, so this is kind of the to-do list. I think we're getting there. I guess the next thing on this list is Monday night. The city's going to start talking about this. Just in a work session, so that's just means it's not. They're not. It's not an action item. It's just a discussion item. So, I see you wincing.
I do. I think that you open a whole other can of worms, and you're. I mean, at this point, by the two options we've talked about, have we not taken the city auditorium off the table?
Yes, but we still have to talk about how we would acquire
the parking lot. I'd be very clear with that because there's no sense in waking
up
again when you go back into that
presentation. Oh, yeah, no, I get that. Yeah.
We're not talking auditorium. You know, we need to start getting people on our ship.
Yeah, that's just a good point to emphasize for the press.
Yeah.
Dan. That, you know, none of the options we're talking about tonight deal with the auditorium building itself. So that's, we're just making that point. And that's, you know, I think that's... the city must have been having that in the back of their mind because they obtained two separate appraisals, which is kind of interesting. We didn't ask them to do that, but apparently they have that in their mind. But that, at least the possibility. Mr. Mack, do you have a question?
This may be really dumb, but would there be any option on the option where the jail goes across that the old auditorium could be used for recreation area for many hours a day or something for the inmates?
We had that question at the public presentation. I think that'd be able
to cut down on it because the events most of the time for the city seem to be in the evenings and so on.
Yeah, it's not looking like we need to do that right now. So yeah,
just
yeah.
And for question.
Yeah, no, that was it's creative. It's a creative question. So that we had, and that was there's. Actually, there's some community interest in keeping that auditorium. So, let's see what else we got. So, I think the next we'll see if we can get the bonding advisor hired probably toward the end of the month, and the next step after that's going to be bonding council. And then ballot language will be kind of, once we have them on board, I think it'll be a little easier to come up with ballot language, and because we'll have the price. And so I think we got our list of questions for the architect. So that's something that I'll add to the to-do list, is refining that option. You know, that's basically option refinement. We're recommending the option. Anything else I'm missing here?
Good question. Talking about the bonding advisor and stuff. Engineer, what are they talking about recommending for if the bond passes going forward, contractor for the building project?
I mean, as far as like who they're recommending or
what type?
Oh, I think the
reason I ask that, if you look at what the city experienced with the rec center, they did a contract, I forget the terminology.
Construction manager?
Construction manager
versus a general contractor.
At risk or not at risk.
Yeah.
And he saved them almost $3
million. Well, yeah, that's an interesting thing. So I think construction manager is the main thing. whether or not they're like an agency rep or a, that's another question later on, but that's something we have to be.
I mean, I know it's totally separate than your bonding advisor, but it kind of comes into play as how do you do the process.
Yeah, that if the bond passes, here's my thought, is if the bond passes, then we have the RFP locked and loaded for a construction manager. So the construction
manager's recommendation.
Yeah,
to
yeah,
go
we'd want it. Yeah, well, his recommendation is probably agency rep because he's worked with a number of construction managers where the counties have been very happy. The thing about we just have to realize is that a construction manager at risk, they guarantee a price, but they are building in a risk factor that's built into that.
Yeah.
And so you probably get a decent price, but then you take away the possibility probably of getting a price much lower than that. And so if you get one that acts really, yeah, and this is based on reputation. I think we can probably entertain both. You know, when we do an RFP, we can entertain both ideas and say what do these different construction managers have? Because we talked to a few counties in the jails we visited where they were very happy with a construction manager they had who functioned more as an agency rep. That kind of takes away the motivation to have that contingency factor, and they just focus in on getting the bid packages down as low as they can. And so
you gotta also. Factor in the whole big picture, because now with Trump being in, Obama's being out, you know, right now the talk, he's pushing interest rates back down instead of the climbing out.
Yeah.
So
that'll help.
You know, the whole contractor at risk thing, you got to look at that seriously. The city went with that and ended up saving.
They were happy with it. They also
a couple million dollars.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's big.
Yeah, but we'll do what we. I mean, I think we need to do what we think is going to save the most money. Obviously, you know. But sometimes you risk a little to save a lot. So, but that's a future conversation. So, next meeting right now I have scheduled for February 22nd, and then the one after that would be March 7th.
February 21st.
Oh, what did I say? What did I say?
You said 22nd.
Oh, yeah. February 20th. That's my wife's birthday, so it must be ingrained in my mind. So that's tell her I said that. But anyway, so February 21st, and then March 7th for the next committee meetings. We haven't set a date for the next public presentation. As you all know, we postponed the one on the 24th because we're going through this process right now. It's probably better use of time to talk about it. But I'm thinking maybe mid March-ish might be a possibility, and it's gonna. That will depend a little bit on BKV's calendar. So if you guys are okay leaving that one open for now for public presentation, but I don't want to I want to give the public plenty of notice, you know, that we're going to do that. So, you know, not much less than a month notice when we want to agree on the date for the next public presentation. So, okay. Everybody good with those dates still? 5:30, is that a good time? So any new business or any more unfinished business, any new business?
What questions have you gotten from groups like Rotary
and yeah. Okay, that's a yeah, all sorts of ones. I can see the benefit of, like, when I spoke to the Lions Club, I got a question that I could see it would have been beneficial to wait on the tax impact, like Megan was saying. Most of the time, it's now that we're getting it down and getting more focused in. Those I think go away. Some very detailed questions like what would you do about juveniles? What would you do about mental health? Talk to that. I think that was probably the big one. One person asked, "What about the if you build it, they will come?" scenario, and I don't think that's going to work. I mean, we don't want to build a big jail to attract customers. We're just not in the right location for it, and make it cost more. And so I don't think we want to do that.
The question still keeps coming up about surrounding counties.
Yeah, we have. Well, since that, whenever I show that video, I don't get questions. Mm-hmm. The video about, you know, it's 10%, and it makes sense. And by the way, on surrounding counties, we have, as commissioners, we've had conference calls with all three counties, and I was impressed that they were actually asking about the option of going in on the bond. That's what they asked questions about, which surprised me. But, you know, But I think that there are other things we need to think about. But at least we made them aware that, you know, we're going to have to increase the bed rate to cover this. And so those were good discussions, but they were by conference call, so I couldn't see their faces because all the county commissions meet at the same time. So
what was their reaction when you talked about the increasing the bed rate?
Silence on the other end of the line. Nobody's... Okay. But they just asked questions about it. They wanted to understand, you know, so we I think you've seen the sheet I used to try to. It's a rough estimate of what the what component of the bed cost would be capital improvement, basically, or, you know, the cost of the bond, and what is operational cost. And so, explaining that, and, you know, this is serious the way we're looking at it. And I think I got the sense that there was a good discussion. I mean, it didn't seem to be like you got to be kidding me. That nobody said that. So.
Has there been anything done as far as operational costs as to what it is right now and what it's prorated to do?
Yeah, I think correct me if I'm wrong, because I know the way it basically works for you guys is you take your operational costs and you estimate your average daily population and divide by that number, and then it gives you a bed rate. So the more people you have, theoretically, the lower the cost per inmate. You know, per day per inmate.
But I mean, I'm just thinking versus a new facility. Versus what you got.
Yeah, right? The factor. I tried to apply a factor based upon, you know, when we estimated it out. So that would raise a little bit, but then, you know, the more inmates you have, the lower the cost per inmate is generally. But it's a bit of a squishy number. But it's in the, if you're wondering, it's in, you know, right now I think it's in the high 60s. But it can fluctuate. You know. Yep. So into the 70s, and so presumably it would creep up into the high 70s as time goes by, with a newer facility that's bigger. So you have to, you know, pay the utilities on that bigger one. I think the staff though that we're bringing on now is going to be about the same. So the, you know, the staff size probably wouldn't go up that much. Maybe one or two. Okay. Any other questions about anything? Taylor.
One suggestion I would have, kind of following up on, you know, focusing more on the jail and coming up with new ideas, I would think a good option to go forward would be the expandability option, and maybe propose a bigger expandability. I believe the last one was an addition of up to 16 beds.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at the fact that you're sizing down your building project and using existing facilities to remodel, what is the option in the future of your expandability being?
You mean money-wise or space-wise?
Well, both. Yeah. Quite a bit bigger. Instead of 16 going, what is 45 to 60 bed?
He's got kind of the option. Those little wedges that Bruce put in the footprint.
32.
It's 216. It's 216.
216.
Yeah. So 32.
So,
yeah.
So 32 to say 64.
I think
In a sense, what I'm saying is, if you listen to the people, build it and they will come. It's not a theoretic. You know, it's not.
Yeah, it works in other counties.
Think of that. Yeah, it works. Every county in South Dakota has the same issue. They're running out of jail space, and they're simply going to need more. I mean, mm-hmm. The crime rate has continued to go up and everything, so it's like if you throw out just an option to say, well, in the future you could say put on 64 beds instead of 32, what would that cost? Because hypothetically, if you can build that fund over 5 to 10 years to have the money to do it,
mm-hmm.
It would make sense to do it.
Okay, I can see it, that. I would. Yeah, I don't really know them because I would guess you might have to think about how the footprint went down initially. Might be a little bit different.
It all depends on how it's laid out.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
so yeah, the layout.
Add, like a second chair on the other side of it.
Yeah.
If it's laid out properly.
Yeah. We can just. Yeah, I think that's something that we probably want to think about at this point as far as the exact configuration. Maybe that's probably in the design phase. So, no, that's an interesting. That's kind of a compromise between the two ideas. Yeah. Okay. What else? Any other unfinished new open stuff? Okay, well, I guess I have to entertain a motion to adjourn. And
so moved.
Moved by Ms. Olson, seconded by Mr. Koistinen. So all in favor of adjourning, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say no. We're adjourned. Thank you.